This is from the March 10th, 2019 service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon.
Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. If you'd like to follow along, it's page 180 in your pew Bible. First fruits and tithes. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruits of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestor. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 4. And like the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness, Jesus also spent time in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. When they were over, he was famished. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered, It is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, to you I will give all of their glory and all his authority, for it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him at the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so you don't dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, well, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Now from a lonesome valley to a mountaintop. Ending is not the only thing in our world that moves quickly, right? All kinds of things move very fast. Jet planes and news stories and the latest fashions, to name just a few, right? Have you ever compared a movie from the 1940s to a movie now? You know what I mean? It's a different pace. So do you think that if you could show one of the movies from today to an audience in the 1940s that people might get motion sickness or something? It's a different pace. It's been years since airplanes broke the sound barrier. I understand, according to the theory of relativity, if you could go as fast as the speed of light, you would actually get younger. There was a young lady named Bright whose speed was much faster than light. She went out one day in a relative way and returned the previous night. Anyway, the point is, the fairly common assumption is, in our culture, fast is good. Fast cars, fast service, it's good. And so, where are we in relation to all of this fast-pacedness? Are we all caught up in it? Competing it? Wanting it? Or are we afraid, huddled behind our locked doors with the blinds pulled and our cover up over our chin? I was thinking about all this because this is the beginning of a season we call Lent. And it seems like the opposite of all of that. Lent, a time of contemplation and preparation for Easter, thinking about the cross, giving things up, praying more, stopping eating chocolate, whatever it is, all seems to be about slowing down. So are we out of step? Maybe we are. Good for us. One thing people sometimes do during Lent is to fast. So that's interesting. Fast, right? Fast can mean something other than quick. It can be a way to slow down. A fast is a time when you give up. You limit your food intake, right? In the scripture reading for this morning from Luke's Gospel, Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. He slowed down. He went without. Do you know that the word to fast, the word that it comes from, the meaning, the one that means to go without food, comes from a word that means to hold fast originally, or to keep, to guard? That's the origin of the root. You see the reversal, right? It's like the opposite now. A word originally meaning to be steadfast now means to move quickly. To move quickly also means to hold fast or to stay firmly fixed and strong. Stay is the earlier meaning, the original meaning, not go quickly. It only came to mean quick, fast did, when it was combined with a word like run. To run fast meant to run strongly. It's amazing, isn't it? A word that used to mean stay now means go in our culture. It's incredible. So, I mean, a ritual called fasting, not big surprise, has gone kind of by the way. I mean, who fasts anymore, right? People all used to fast. It was pretty common back in the day. I mean, Jesus' day and the Israelites' day. Who wants to slow down long enough to give up food for a week? Who wants to sacrifice anything for religious conviction? I mean, as long as you drink light beer, right, you can drink as much as you want. Party as fast as you can. Well, I mean, maybe for a while. Living too fast catches up with you. The scripture reading for today holds up another way to be. Jesus fasted. Steadfastly, right? In chapter 4, Luke reports Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted. He shows us another way to be steadfast, to hold to faithfulness, to be strong in his commitment and dedication from a time when fast meant something else. To be steady, to be fastened. Why? Why did Jesus fast? Slowing down is not slacking off. It's summoning spiritual strength. It's getting prepared to let God be in you and in your life. Jesus wrestled with demons in the wilderness. Slowing down during Lent might mean getting in touch with God. Preparing yourself to deal with something in your life. I don't know what you do. Finding the strength to help someone you need to help. Where do you need to hold fast in your life? Luke's gospel helps us to think about that. The other reading, the one Adrian read from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites have a feast. They don't fast, they have a feast. But their feasting is actually for very similar reasons as Jesus' fasting. After they lived a while in their new home, it says, after they had tilled the ground, and then they were to bring in the harvest, the first of the harvest. The first thing they did, take some of it, give it back to God as an act of faith. The so-called first fruits of the harvest offered to God eventually leads to a feast, but the purpose is the same, to acknowledge God and to make a sacrifice. Their feast is a celebration of all God has done for them. It's not just a big party. It's bountiful. It's God's bounty. Our culture, Thanksgiving might be a little bit like that. Or if you're a follower of Jesus, Easter and the meal can be that way after this whole season of Lent. After this whole season of Lent. Don't have Easter dinner now. The Old Testament is about a feast. The gospel is about a fast. And whether it's feasting or fasting, the origin of both practices are found in a desire to hold fast to faithfulness in God and to one another in life. Feasting and fasting can trigger the realization we don't live by bread alone, which Jesus said. The Israelites, as they fasted, acknowledged they did not live by bread alone, but by the grace of God. So, this year, the theme for Lent, the next 5 weeks, is wandering and coming home. After a lot of time of wandering, searching, fasting, or whatever, coming home is different. But different in a good way. You find it. You appreciate it. You don't take it for granted. What is home? Something that puts us in touch with this longing we all have for a sense of home is that not everyone has one, or one they want to go to, or feels at home where they are. But for most of us, there's this longing or this dream to be at home in our lives and in the world. Psalm 126 says, "The people of Israel, after all that wandering, when they finally came home, they were like a people in a dream." So there's this dream of being at home for a lot of people. Take that a little further. The dream of coming home involves a kind of freedom. When you feel at home, you're more free to reach out to people, to help others. We're more open to God's Spirit, to move and be in our lives. So feeling at home is a kind of freedom, or can give you that. As an example of this, this next few weeks, the next 4 weeks, I've been encouraging, like I did last week, I'm encouraging us to look at these four paintings by Norman Rockwell called The Four Freedoms. The four paintings painted early in the 1940s as World War II was at its height and then coming to an end, they represent a kind of dream for Americans. Why did we fight World War II? What was it all about? The dream, the feeling, to feel at home, to feel more free. The four freedoms are freedom from want, this one, freedom from fear, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. Part of FDR's State of the Union, and then became these paintings by Norman Rockwell. This morning, we look at freedom from want. It's up on the screen in color, like bigger. It's also black and white on the front of your bulletin cover. It shows a family sitting down to a Thanksgiving feast, and the grandmother's putting the turkey on the table. The grandfather's waiting to carve it or helping or something. And the rest of the family is doing what? They're not looking at the turkey. It's amazing. This is not about a turkey. It's in the middle of the painting, but they don't even notice the turkey at all. What are they doing? What are they looking at? Each other. They're looking at, they're talking. Freedom from want, it seems, is not necessarily just about freedom from want of food or being fed. It is connected to something deeper, being filled with good things, being nourished by companionship. Jesus fasted in the wilderness. He's also called the bread of life, food for the soul, and we're the body of Christ, right? So fasting or feasting, either way, the hope is it can be a way to find a kind of freedom to truly be at home with God and with yourself in a world where greed and isolation is the thing and everything is moving fast because we're competing greedily to get the things that we think are ours that all came from God. To be steadfast is the thing. Years ago, I met Cesar Chavez. You may have heard of him. Know who he is? He led a campaign to boycott grape growers who were exploiting workers, and some people said that there should be violent, demonstrations against the grape growers. He didn't do that. He did something else. He fasted for a long time. And his fast originally was about calling attention to the injustice, but as I heard him speak and I met him, he said that whenever there was a time that he needed spiritual strength, he would fast. Whatever you think about the politics of the boycott, he was an amazingly spiritual, dedicated, devoted individual of faithfulness. So as we look ahead this week, the question is, what will we do? Whether you choose to fast, or to feast, or to do something else, or to give back the first, whether you live one way or another, the way you live, choose to live, the way you eat, the way we eat, the way we wander, how we create a sense of home, all of that how can that be about holding fast? That's the question. We don't live by bread alone, Jesus said. I can tell you from my experience that I fasted for 3 days. That's not nearly as long as Cesar Chavez. That's the longest I've ever fasted. And you might think your body would get weak when you fast. It does. Especially the first day or two. It changes after that, and the hunger goes away. But even in my hunger, I realize there's more to life. This is a profound ancient spiritual tradition, fasting. Compared to somebody really starving, though, I was not close to hungry. I was not even close. Your body can go a long, 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 long time without food. You're addicted to food, is all it is. And the realization is that affected me spiritually when I did it. So I'm not recommending anybody put their health at risk. What I'm saying is, ask yourself, how am I being steadfast? Am I? And is the way you live your life and the choices you make faithful? And how we live our life makes a difference in our spiritual life. Are we preparing ourselves like Jesus in the wilderness? Are our feasts at least partly about being thankful? I'm not saying don't feast. Bountiful. God created the world for us to enjoy. But does how we eat and how we live harm other people or not? The earth? If it does, are there changes that you need to make? Hopefully, most of us have a long time left to live. But no matter how long you've got left, and nobody knows, in a sense, life is short, right? The question is, what are you going to do with your time? Will we live the rest of our lives as fast as we possibly can, or will we live the rest of our lives as steadfastly as we can? I hope that in some way all of us will find a way to come home to steadfastness, at least to try that on a little more earnestly this Lent in these next few weeks, and that in doing that, we'll feel more free, set free in our hearts and in our lives.